Good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is September 7th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here, and I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And Tim couldn't make it this morning, so he texted me and said that he was sitting out. He had some stuff going on, and he could not get back to the microphone in time, so we're just going to go ahead and go without him. Paul, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this time, opportunity to go to worldwide with a message of the gospel, the truth, Lord, that only you give us, Lord, and you are our Savior, our Deliverer, Lord, and we are calling upon you and Psalm 83, not to be silent, Lord, for we are helpless, basically, but not without you. You have a remnant that you will protect, Lord, and we're calling on you to, we're calling on the covenant to be in effect at this time. We humbly ask you to participate in this program, that our words be good and solid, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Well, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world right now. I don't know. One of the things that I wanted to start off with this morning was just this, Haitians, pretty much that are, well, they're coming in from all over the place, and it is an epidemic. I mean, it's looking like we're going to have to play Cowboys and Haitians here one of these days. And
yeah, it
was
up in that way.
It is. I mean, we've been hearing a lot about these ones that are in Denver, and I got a good report that somebody sent me this morning, and I posted just a link to it on the Newswire. Good video, good information, and it was, you know, from a report that goes back to September of 23, and says basically that you know, they started coming into Denver in September 23, and it's a report that done by a law firm that was sent to a it was sent to law enforcement and to, you know, several people, different agencies down there in Denver, and saying, hey, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with these. Well, this was the Venezuelans. Yeah, I apologize. The Venezuelans, Haitians. I don't know. I get them mixed up sometimes. But yeah, these Venezuelans, and it was talking about this gang that is out there, and it's really something. And there's more and more videos that are surfacing of these Venezuelans that are just out of control. I got a report here that says that this one is, oh, I'm going to read part of it if I can get it to load again. It says, destruction of America is happening now from within. It is being reported that Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, which I'm sure I butchered that one, began taking control of apartment buildings in Aurora, Colorado last November, while mainstream media and government ignore it. Local news is covering it. So now your investigator, Brian Moss, has obtained a confidential report into one of these apartment complexes, and that report says a Venezuelan gang been taking it over in 23. This is the 9-page report. It was put together by a Denver law firm. They say that they were hired to look into the Whispering Pines apartments by the building's lenders last month. They sent this report to Aurora's mayor, city manager, and police chief. As recently as Tuesday, residents at the Edge apartment complex in Aurora pushed back on reports that a Venezuelan gang had taken over their building. But 5 miles away at the Whispering Pines, a 54-unit apartment building in Aurora, this detailed letter asking for confidential treatment of the contents shared a different story. It was sent to Aurora officials on August 9th, with investigators saying the evidence we have reviewed indicates that gang members are engaging in flagrant trespass violations, assault and battery, human trafficking, sexual abuse of minors, unlawful firearms possessions, extortion, and other criminal activities. According to the law firm's report, the Venezuelan gang has threatened to kill and, in certain instances, has apparently actively attempted to kill members of Whispering Pines management. The report says a consultant for the property management company was severely beaten and stomped by gang members and was hospitalized. The alleged incident, recorded by building cameras with screenshots attached to the letter. And it goes on and so forth. And from what I've been hearing, basically for these Venezuelan gangs, it is going to be Denver is kind of their new hub. It's their headquarters. It's their capital, so to speak, in the United States. It's close enough to the border. They can get back to the south of the border. And it's basically they just got a network going. And then that's their headquarters. So that's not too far from us. Talking to a lot of people that, people are becoming aware of it, and it's, you know, there's more and more things that are happening and coming to light, but, it's really looking like, it's not a good thing. I mean, no matter what, these invaders are, they're here and, they're up to no good. So, It's just a matter of before this whole deal comes to a head.
Amen. And you see that it's been going on. You said that report's from September, so it was going on before then. That's when it was reported. And it's a year later when it kind of hits the big news, the national news. I know last week we were getting texts and calls from people, you know, that we're seeing this all over, saying, hey, this is in your neck of the woods. And what does the governor of Colorado say? Oh, people, it's all in your imagination. It's nothing like this at all. They just deny it. Why? Because they're part of it. They promote it. They know that it's that's their job. They know that it's happening. They know. You know, how would it be if it was your aunt or mom or dad that was the manager there that got the living snot beat out of them by these gangs, you know, 10-on-1 or something? How would it be then? And, that's what it is. It's absolute lawlessness, absolute chaos, and the powers that be, for the most part, they just go along with it. Yeah, you know, it's not that bad. And I saw just this week, police went down, they arrested some gang members, and they're all out on bail, you know, $1,000 bail, and they arrested them, and then they're out on bail, $1,000 bail, you know. Multiple illegal gun charges, like you said, extortion and all this stuff. They don't. It's just nothing because of who it is that's doing it. Where God was right, His word was right when He said our enemy would go higher and higher and we would go lower and lower. And I think that's a great example of it. It's a bad example, but it's a good example of a bad example. and not very far away.
Well, you know, I read Book of Lamentations this week, and that's a pretty depressing book, but it said in there is no law, and there's been no law in our country for a long time. This just didn't happen. When the law leaves the church, the law leaves the world. And see, in a Judeo-Christian or an Anglo-Saxon generally don't understand how evil people think. We're compassionate people. We're willing to forgive, and we're willing to get along with people that we shouldn't out of our ignorance. But this didn't just happen. The pulpit's been taken over. It started in 1900 when they infiltrated the seminaries, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse to the point where we are in a state of anarchy. We've been in a state of anarchy for long because I know a lot of patriots that were on the truth that went to prison. And they, you know, and I read that book in the Ukraine business too, and if they opposed the government in any way, they just disappeared, you know, and then soon died. That is just a tragic, and that's what they had planned for America, by the way. The other day I see a report, well, the butter and cheese, our inventories are way lower than we thought, you know, and they knew all about this. It's planned. We had a great big dairy move in here from California that had 2,500 cows. And I went down the roads counting all the people that had 50 cows, 25, 50 cows, and he didn't even come close to replacing those. All these little salt of the earth farms that were the backbone of America, you know, they've been dissipated, but the people love it, so you can't really blame these preachers too much. But, you know, when I left, I had to dug into the Bible myself, and you're going against the whole system, let me tell you. And here you're one in thousands that even care about it. You know, I got a couple books that Jason sent me, and I don't even know who to give one to that would even read it. You know, they're so content and complacent in the shoes that they're in, and semi-comfortable, yeah, but they're, you know, what you're talking about here, where they're going to lose their comfort zone. They ain't going to stop at them apartments. They're going to filter out of there. That's just a home base, you know, just like you. You get to sleep at home at night and you go to work. So this ain't done. I mean, it's going to get pretty violent, I think.
Well, I think so, too, and I think that's why, I mean, you know, and it's different when you got eyes to see and ears to hear, and you see this, and you see the handwriting on the walls, and, you know, I mean, you know, when recently we started pushing this gun control and published two articles of Jack Moore's that he had written, you know, 30, 40 years ago on firearms and freedom and how firearm freedom is people control, or how gun control is people control. And it's, you know, it really ties together with what we see happening and our legislatures. And, you know, we've got a presidential candidate that's running on basically we're going to disarm you as soon as I get into office. And then you see that, you know, we're getting invaded by an enemy force. We've got invaders here on our soil. And they want to disarm the people. I mean, you talk about destruction. And, you know, I think that one of the points that we made last week on the program was a really good point, and I hadn't thought of it as being the last and final commandment of Jesus Christ, but it was, you know, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. And that was his last commandment. And, you know, we've got prophets that have continued to cry out and speak the truth and talk about this gun control and the warning of it. Pastor Peters, Everything You Wanted to Know, his book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Gun Control and Preachers Were Afraid to Tell You, is a fantastic book. And he wrote that. It was probably 30 years ago when he wrote that. And he was warning people of it. And I mean, these people, Jack Moore, Earl Jones, and Pastor Peters were warning us years and years in advance about the things that are happening now. And yes, we do have a phone number. If you'd like to call in, the phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. 970-224-4203. And phone lines are open. You're welcome to give us a call. But, you know, you see so much of this stuff. And, I mean, and people ask me why I was pushing this gun control thing and why I was publishing it. And I'll tell you what, you read that article that Jack Moore wrote. It just, I mean, it was phenomenal. And it goes into the Jewish issue and exposing Esau Edom for who they are and what they are and what they're doing. So, you know. Praise God for so many of these things being preserved. And I'm just, you know, thankful that we're able to share some of this stuff with the remnant out there and get this information out there to the people, because I think that these timeless truths are truths that you're not going to get anywhere else. You're not going to hear a preacher preaching about it today.
Jason, you're absolutely correct. And just like last Sunday, you brought up part one of an interview that Pastor did with Colonel Moore. And an introduction to Colonel Moore, because so many people don't know. They just don't. Paul, you mentioned about people getting, you know, they're going to have to get out of their comfort zone. When you hear what this man witnessed, and you realize that that's the plan for America, that's the plan that our enemies have. When you hear the horrible things that he went through, and it's horrible, it is, it gets you out of your comfort zone. And that's part of what has to happen here. You know, the founding fathers of this nation, when they, you know, fired that shot heard around the world on April 19th, 1775, when they had the Boston Tea Party, when they stood against a tyrannical government, they, you know, they were outside of their comfort zone. And when you read their writings, they didn't do it so much for them as for their posterity, for their children, for their children's children, and for us, all the way down to us and for those that come after. And, you know, we've talked before about what a convenient lifestyle we have today in this land. You know, if you're hot, you turn the air on. If you're cold, you turn the heat on. You want water, you go hit the spigot. If it's dark, you turn the light on. No problem. You know, and if you want your wife and daughter to go to town and do shopping or whatever, it's safe to do that. And all that is changing. It's all changing. I saw a report, I mentioned it to Jason this week. We spent a little time together that, gun shops down in Texas are reporting a huge uptick this last year in women coming in and getting personal protection firearms. Getting pistols to carry, taking concealed carry classes, and doing, you know, taking their protection into their own hand. And I visited Florida earlier this year. Same thing there. More and more classes. I saw there's a class coming up in about 2 weeks, women's only concealed carry class here in Wyoming, up here in Laramie. And, you know, because people are seeing that. You know, fathers are taking their daughters down there, their daughters in college, and saying, "Hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to carry this," and because the lawlessness abounds, and so, you know, we're back to Colonel Moore, you know, trying to get this truth in the face of people, this truth that was given us 30 plus years ago, that hey, this is the plan. It's called war. And we have an enemy that's warring against us, and you better wake up to it, and do what you have to do to survive this.
Well, you know, you talk back 30 years ago. Google back to Jesus' crucifixion. He said, "Bag sword." Now that's all we're talking about is based on that. You know, we have the prophesied Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. No, this is, it's all in there. You know, it's just that we're realizing it. You know, Pastor Peters was a tremendous man. He paid a really high price to preach, let me tell you. And that's just the way it is today. They don't want the truth. And our neighbors, for the most part, don't want the truth. But like you said last week, you know, the guy who laughed at you about this thing, and now he's got a few of them. You got to sow seeds, because all of a sudden it's coming true. That's what Jason said, or Paul said, or Richard said, you know. And we're just messenger boys. That's the best we are. You know, my one friend, he gets on me about not eating pork, and he comes to me and wants to give me some of that, and he's always mocking me. But see, he ain't mocking me. He's mocking God.
Yep.
And don't take it personal. Just don't take it personal, because it ain't me he's knocking. I didn't write it, you know. So, but you, sometimes we get defensive, but you might as well laugh, because he don't know any better. And I don't think he's wanted us to know. He just wants it, you know. He just wants it to keep doing his own thing. So
doesn't
he
want
will.
To know. I like how you put that, Paul. He doesn't want to know. There's so many that are that way. They don't want to. You know, they haven't come to that realization. Hey, let's look at this word and see if this truth is really true. They haven't got there yet.
Well, if you're ignorant, you're not responsible. They think, you know, and there's something to that. But once you know, then it demands action. You know, and to whom much is given, as much is required. You know, we're given a lot of knowledge, so a lot of it is required of us to give it back, you know.
Yes.
That head in the sand, you know, there used to be a paper out, the Upright Ostrich. I don't remember where it was, but it was an old Patriot magazine. But when that ostrich pulled his head out of the sand, it's all around him.
Right. You know, I had a very close dear Christian lady tell me one time, you know, she said, I just don't feel the love of Jesus from the sermons, your sermons and your messages in your newsletter. And I told her, I said, listen, that's exactly what you hear is a warning. And it is the love of Jesus. I said, now it's not the sloppy agape that you've been used to in the Judeo-Christian churches. But if you know the bridge is out up ahead, and there's vehicles headed for it, and it's at night, and you don't warn them, then that's on you. And that's what I told her. I said, listen, that's on us, is to warn. Definitely the love of Jesus is there. And it's because of that that we do this. It's because of that that we put these things that are uncomfortable, that, you know, when you hear Jack Moore talking about the torture that he went through and the murders that he witnessed and stuff like that, it's very uncomfortable. But now we're seeing it in Denver-zuela. You know, that's what Denver's turning into. Like Jason said, oh, it's the Venezuelan hub now for the Venezuelan immigrants, invaders, the gangs that are here. And we're seeing that here. And you better get out of your comfort zone, you know, because it's getting uncomfortable. It's steps at a time. You know, people have been uncomfortable this year with $3.50 a gallon gas and food prices doubling and things like that. You know, God's causing us to be uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. I know you say that a lot, Paul. It's a good thing.
Yeah, God's sending these people in here because we're reaping what we sowed. He's going to intervene at some time in a miraculous way, but he sent them because of our disobedience. So, I get that through your bony little head, too. They think, you know, we just don't understand the enemy and how evil they are.
Right.
Well, and I think, and I appreciate these comments, Derek. This was, Derek chimed in and he said, keep sounding the alarm. This is what God says, Joel 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. My holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Indeed, it is near. And good scripture. Thank you for sharing that with us. And he also said the colonial charters were documents written up in the colonialist home country. The king issued the charter granted it to the colonists. Here's one example. On March 4th, 1644, Charles I issued the charter for the colonial of Massachusetts Bay. It mentioned the orderly conduct of the colonists to the knowledge and obedience of the only true God and the savior of mankind and the Christian faith. Americans founders, they crossed the Atlantic Ocean to take possession of the land the Bible calls the appointed place. Yeah, exactly. Good information. And Will chimed in and he said, our people were made for the times we are in. We were warned by the Old Testament prophets, told how to prepare by Jesus, and given the modern scenarios by men like Jack Moore, Earl Jones, and Pastor Peters. It is the remnant's responsibility to heed all of these. Yes, exactly. And that's what we're trying to do. And I want people to understand it, is we're trying to blow the trumpet. We're trying to put out what they have warned us about. And they I mean, they spent their lives, these men that we're talking about dedicated their lives, and they lived it, they breathed it, they took the persecution because they were spreading a message that was not popular, and they paid a dear price to get this information out. And you know, that's what we're doing, is we're trying to, you know, people ask me, what are you doing? Are you the preacher of this and that? No, I'm not the preacher. I'm occupying until Christ returns. And that's my job, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to continue to get this information out that these men have spent a lifetime doing. I mean, I can't you can't put my speaking up against Jack Moore or Pete Peters or any of them. And I don't want to. And I'm not a replacement for them. But it is my job to get this information out, and that's what I'm trying to do a good job at. You know, some people just don't understand it, but it's, you know, this message, I really believe that needs to continue to go out.
Well, it's the watchman on the wall, you know, and it's our job to tell the truth. Their job to receive it, you know. It's just like your friend, they got the machine guns or whatever they were, you know, he finally got the message, you know, he's seen the truth, and we just got to make sure we're telling the truth, because we're in deep doo-doo, and our nation is being overrun by the stranger, and God said it would happen if we didn't keep it his way. Yeah, Judeo-Christianity, a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Judaism and Christianity are incompatible, period.
Amen. This one says, this is the other one that I was going to get to. It says, Springfield residents warn pets and wildlife are being eaten by Haitians. Residents in Ohio City has been flooded with tens of thousands of migrants, mainly from Haiti, have been shocked by reports the newcomers are hunting and eating their pets and local wildlife like ducks and geese. A Facebook post from a local community group for Springfield, Ohio, has gone viral after it warned residents to keep a close eye on their pets on animals in public parks, warning to all about beloved pets and those around us, the post begins. My neighbor informed me that her daughter's friend had lost her cat. She checked pages, kennels, asked around, etc. One day she came home from work, and as soon as she stepped out of the car, looked towards a neighbor's house where Haitians live, and saw her cat hanging from a branch, and they were carving it up to eat. I've been told they are doing this to dogs. They have been doing it at Snyder Park with the ducks and geese. As I was told that last bit by rangers and police, please keep a close eye on these animals. Over 20,000 Haitians have arrived in Springfield since 2020, increasing the town's population of 58,000 people by over a third. I mean, you think about that. I mean, I'm going to stop there, but you just think about 20,000 in a town that's not even 60,000 people, over a third of the population grown in by illegal Haitians that are not upstanding citizens and not being of any benefit to the community.
And eating their pets. And let me tell you something. When the pets run out, they'll go to eating somebody else. And I mean that, somebody. We've seen that. They, you know, even this the big uproar they had in Haiti this year, they were talking about the cannibalism that they were doing. Well, it made it out just a little bit, and then that got squashed. Because that's what they do. It's what they do.
Well, in that book, Execution by Starvation, they passed the law that they wanted the dog and cat skins. So they brought in the people with the guns, shot all their pets and everything, and then they skinned a few, and they put them in a pile, let them lay there for a week, and then they let the Russians or the Ukrainians have them, and they went and ate them, and they were so desperate for food. But they had laid there for a week, you know, with animal laid there for a week is you better get them skinned and in the cooler real quickly. But they were that desperate that they would, you know, they killed their pets. That was one humbling book.
Yeah, it really is. Well,
and again, it's truth.
Yeah, it's truth, and you know that, and there was that the message that we played last week by Jack Moore for church. It was humbling, and it was graphic, and it was I mean, there's so many people that just don't have they can't even fathom these things, and they think that you know, that they don't exist, or it's something that you can turn the TV off and it's not going to exist.
Yeah, but see, they're in their comfort zone and they don't, you know, that ain't affecting them right at the moment. But it's being torn down, the foundation been torn down all around, the deceitful of riches. You know, that's at the end of the day when money ain't going to mean nothing.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, they're finding that out. A lot of people are finding that out already. So, interesting times that we're living in. And we don't want to just talk about the bad times. We want to talk about the things that we see that are coming to pass. And it's, you know, to be aware of. But Christ has a remnant. And he's got a remnant. And he's always going to have a remnant. And he takes care of his people. And that's the good news. Is, we talk about these things and we tell you and we're warning you about the things to come so that you can be aware, because it's things like this that that make people wake up. And I just want people to continue to be praying. Psalms 83. We do have the Psalms 83 bookmark, and it is to combat. It's how we combat these bastards on the spiritual side. And what they're doing, and what they're doing to this land, and how they're seeking to destroy it. I think it's the perfect one of the perfect prayers that we need to be praying, and it's one of the things that we can be doing on the spiritual side of this warfare.
Well, that's the only way we're going to win, if God intervenes on our behalf. I mean, that's the absolute only way. You know, and just because you go to church and give God lip service don't mean you're a Christian. The Christian is humility. Your death, your eventual breath, just through the baptism, and then you'll receive the gift. But there's a huge amount of religious people that stand on their baby baptism or whatever it is, or just the confession. And you don't know how many people I've talked to. Oh, you can be baptized if you want to, but it's really not necessary. I have never found a person that told me I need to be baptized up till I met Pastor Peters, you know.
Yep.
The
people are just repeating what they've heard. You know, that's what they've heard. It tickles their ears when their Baal priest pastor says, "Oh no, just believe." Who's believed? Who believe? Who accepts Jesus? Do you accept Jesus? Oh brother, hallelujah! It's done. Your name is written. You are there, buddy. That's it. That's all you had to do. Jesus did it all, and it tickles their ears, and that's what they want to hear. And then they just repeat it. They just repeat it. You know, you can't, you know, if you ask them, well, where does it say in the Bible you don't have to be baptized? They can't give you a scripture. You can give them scriptures where it says you better be. You can go to Romans. Hey, when we are baptized into Christ, we share in his death so that we can share in his resurrection. Well, what if you don't share in his death? You might not get to share in his resurrection. But the people but they're not looking. They're not looking. They're not, like you said, they're ignorant, and they want to be. They want to be that way. They don't want it to change because it gets them out of their comfort zone. Boy, we've talked about that today, hasn't it? It gets them out of their comfort zone. Remnant listening, ask your friends, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Where? Give me a scripture for that. I'd like to do that. I'd like to see that in the scripture and follow the scriptures, and it'll get real quiet because it ain't there. You know, First Peter's there, and now you know baptism now saves you. Oh, that's there, and there's scriptures for that. But you're right, Paul. They don't want to know, and as long as that love of the truth is not there, and that's one of the reasons that this book, Execution by Hunger. We've talked about that for years. Pastor talked about that for years to try to get that out, because it's truth. This other one, Scalp Dance, Indian warfare on the plains back in the late 1800s, because it's truth. It's very graphic. It's very rough, but it's truth. And the so many people are just removed from the truth that we have been invaded, the truth, whether it's just in the physical that we're living here today or in the spiritual, truth is truth, and you better embrace it regardless of the cost.
Well, you take the rapture mentality, you know, God's going to have to apologize to the martyrs that were all tortured and stuff, and when the formation started and stuff like that, and these people just get out free. Well, that is not going to happen. You know, there's a price. And you have to stand your ground. But I guess as a country singer, I don't know. My daughter told me about him. He says, well, there ain't going to be no rapture and stuff like that. I want to get a hold of that song and stuff. But she was telling me about it. And after I lived in the Reformed theology, and they had the predestination. Now, there's two things that are very, very destructive, and that's the predestination gospel and the rapture gospel. It nullifies and neutralizes people from doing anything.
Yes. Yeah, Paul, I got a podcast I'll have to send you. I think I know what song you're talking about, and there's actually an interview with the singer of it, and it's a really good interview. There's more truth coming out of that country music singer's mouth than you're going to hear in most churches, that's for sure.
Well, that ain't too much. Don't take much at all. But anyway, no, it's happened. It's getting out. People are starting to realize, just like that lady said, she just don't feel, that's the trouble with a feminist society. It's all about feelings. It's not about facts, The tent falling on her head, and, I don't feel good, and that's how stupid they are. And they just make them feel good. But that's blinder than bad. There's a bad ending to that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Titanic's going down, and you're yelling, and the people are, they're upset that you're yelling. Why are you yelling? It doesn't make me feel good. Listen, it's urgent. We need to be yelling. We need to be. And that's what the Bible talks about. You mentioned it earlier, blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm. It's an alarming time. It is.
Just look at when, God closed the door on the ark. I'll bet you all them people wanted to know all of a sudden, too. But it was too late. No one preached for 100 years. They laughed at him primarily. And anyway, that'd be quite a ride in a boat like that with all them animals.
Right. And then, then I think that ties right into the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Everybody teaches that, all of the virgins were Christians. They were all believers. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. But some had that oil of understanding to keep their lamps lit, and some didn't. Some hadn't gone out and bought it and paid the price. Boy, Pastor's done some great messages on that. That's certainly where I learned it from. Those wise ones had paid the price. They had prepared. They had done what they needed to do to be ready for the bridegroom. They didn't wait until they heard that knock. Here's the bridegroom, and then get ready. It's too late then. That's what the parable is. It's too late then. You be ready before. Be ready. Be waiting. The other parable. So, if you knew the thief was coming at 2 a.m., you'd be ready. You'd have your shotgun. You'd have your door locked. You'd have a loaded gun behind it and the lights on. And you'd be ready for that thief that was coming if you knew he was coming at 2 a.m. And, that's how we are to be, is to be ready. And so many today aren't.
Well, I think the anointing doorpost is our miracle of getting through this mess. God, he can see that oil and stuff. You don't need to be red, but he knows who's behind that door. And, it's that simple. He does take care of his own. He promised he would.
Oh, absolutely. And he knows who's covered by the blood. That's, that's back to the baptism. You better be covered by his blood. You needed to have that blood on the doorpost in Egypt for your firstborn to not die. And you better be covered by the blood today. Because then when you are, those scriptures, that Psalms 83, then we can cry out to God, don't be silent. Lord, don't, the nations, everybody's coming against us, Lord. Everybody is. And they want to wipe us out, but we cry out to you. And the 91st Psalm, hey, 1,000 may fall over here and 10,000 over there, but it ain't coming here. It will not come to me. And that's a benefit. That's a blessing from God. Like it says, for those that dwell in him, that are covered by his wings, his eagle, the eagle, the pinions that it talks about, for those that are his. And boy, what a comfort that is. What a blessing that is to know that, it won't come here.
Well, he says if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So don't, there's no guarantees. I mean, there just isn't. It's just,
Right.
What you believe and what you stand on.
Amen. And, you know, we're seeing, again, the diseases of Egypt. You read that all through the scriptures. But the human parvo, you know, parvo is a dog disease. You got to get a shot for it if you want to put your dog in the kennel over the weekend or something. But human parvos come out, this monkeypox. The World Health Organization was pushing that as a world event, and it wasn't just in Africa. It's in Europe now, too. The Legionnaire's disease, just saw an article this morning, three more elderly people died of Legionnaire's disease. They've had an outbreak in New Hampshire and in Australia. And then this latest is this EEE encephalitis that doesn't come up all the time, and all of a sudden they're having fatalities, and you got to use a mosquito spray and all that. Really, in September, we need to be spraying against mosquitoes in September for encephalitis. And again, it's just these diseases of Egypt. One more of these plagues that jump right off the scriptures that God brings on His people for disobeying His word. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 32 as well, the Song of Moses. And we see these things.
See, there's really no bad fungus, no bad insects. There's a lot of bad crops and a lot of bad people. That disease thing is God's way of harvesting the people that ain't fit to live. You know, it's way nature's way. I've seen with my own two eyes, insects leave a plant just from a little nutrition you put on it. They just don't want nothing to do with it. And that's God's way of cleaning up, you know. You can't believe the amount of money spent on a fungicide in this country. It's in the billions of dollars every year. But that fungus is from God to clean house. You know, Amos talks about it, fungus, it's just God's way of cleaning house. I mean, these diseases of Egypt come on us because we don't to grow food God's way, number one, or eat food that He says is not to eat and not to eat, and that's all been taken away from us through ignorance and choice of ignorance.
Well, Paul, this is interesting. So where we've got our garden, we've got about 30 feet wide and 100 foot long section, and we've got grass around it, and then we've got raised beds on top of that next to the you know, the garden that's in the ground. And it's probably about 10 feet away. We've got a barbed wire fence that backs up to a creek. And I let that on the other side of the fence just go feral, and we don't really mow it or anything like that. Once in a while, we'll weed whack it. But the grasshoppers are just thick in it, and it's been really interesting because, I mean, to have you go over there and the three little boys, they go over there and they're, you know, over there catching grasshoppers all the time, and, you know, that's just something that they do for fun. But they go over there, and, I mean, there is thousands of them. I mean, 10,000 of them. I don't know how many. I mean, it's just there's tons of them, but they won't cross that that 10-foot separation and go into the garden. And I really believe that is because the plants that I got in the garden are healthy. And I know that people are talking about how bad that this year the grasshoppers are in this area. And we've had it every couple of years we get something, and it's like, I mean, they're just, they go crazy. And it seems like they want to devour everything. And people are talking about it, and they've sprayed for this, and they've sprayed for that, and you got to use this insecticide, and they so on and so forth. But you can walk through the garden, and you won't find a grasshopper in there. And it's just interesting because I really believe that's, you know, the health of the plants. They stay away from it. They've got their own stuff to eat.
Definitely it is. Definitely is. I mean, there's the books, too, about when them grasshoppers look like you can wipe out wheat crops and stuff like that. But that's all a nutritional deficiency. And I can't tell you we can do it because something's going on in nature that's big. And, you know, we usually here in the fall, we have bees everywhere. We have some jelly out for the Orioles and stuff, and the bees are all over it. And then hummingbird feeders. There's no bees around this year, period. Nature is, you know, crying out. It really is. And I don't understand it, but I have pictures of my strawberries, and the deer won't touch them, and my neighbors, they just devastated them. But I got pictures of tracks, and they were in there. They ate the radishes, but they never, and the robins never touched my strawberries. But then a couple of years ago, I used a herbicide on, and I really messed that patch up. But I actually seen it where the deer would not eat the strawberries or the robins, you know. So, and I don't know exactly what's going on, but there's definitely something. And same spiritual, you know. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ on you, it's going to be different. You know, back in the early 80s, I had silver, and I had food dryer and everything like that. And I've kind of let it all go. God said he's going to feed me, and I hope it's man. And I'm certainly not going to grumble, because he knows how to make good stuff.
Well, one of the things that I'm doing at the, when we're done with our garden is putting it in. I took your advice, and I'm going to put it in some cover crops. And I did find a really good one. I believe it's good. I haven't tried it yet, so I guess the proof is in the pudding. We'll see what happens. But it's called Garden Cover Crop Mix, and it's got Austrian field peas in it, wheat, triticale, collard greens, daikon radishes, hairy vetch, crimson clover, frosty clover, yellow mustard, and a couple other things. And then I'm going to do like what you said, is throw the rye in. And so I think that's a pretty good mix. From what I understand, they all work really well together, and we'll see. But I'm excited to try it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're on the right track, but I'm telling you, we're not all there either. You know, I talked about that before. We can make differences, definitely differences, too. We've seen it. But, we're in the world, but not of it. And there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a huge die-off here somehow, some way. And when that happens, there'll still be, I think the Bible says, so few a child can count them. You know, so, and I don't know how it's happened or when it's happened, but we have to stand on the Word of God. And it's not that we're smart. It's just that He is smart, wise.
You know, one of the things that I was looking at, too, is, you know, you see these people that are, we were talking about spraying mosquitoes and using off and stuff like that. And I didn't really realize, I mean, how bad it was. I've been now up in Wyoming and Minnesota and Alaska and stuff. I've been to places, and it's like, you got to put something on. otherwise, you're not going to have a drop of blood left in your system. Boy, I tell you what, though, after watching some of these videos that somebody shared with me, I'm going to find something better to put on myself. And it was basically a video of a guy was out. He was out working in his garden, and the mosquitoes were bad. And so he was spraying himself down with some off. And then he was out there working in the garden, and there was a whole bunch of mosquitoes that landed on one of his, I think it was a tomato plant. And so he just hit the tomato plant with it just briefly and came back the next day. And that plant was deader than could be. I mean, it was dead. It was shriveled up and drying out dead. And so he started doing some experimenting with that. And basically everything that he put it on, he killed it overnight. And, said, and he's like, I've been spraying this stuff on my skin every day. And if it's going to kill a plant overnight, what's it doing to my body? And basically went into some things like started doing some research on it and exposing how bad this stuff is for you. And, it was something that I've used. And I heard that, oh, yeah, it's not good for you. But I didn't know how bad it was for you either.
Well, I know people that mosquitoes won't touch them.
Yeah.
I know one woman, a mosquito will just not touch her. I don't know what's different about her. But I'm telling you, if we are being attacked by them, there's something wrong with our body. You know, you want to read a humbling book, Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring. It was about the DDT. It was done here in Michigan, and the robins were just dropping dead left and right. And I used to spray that stuff by the barrel. It ran all over me and everything. I was tough. I was invincible. I don't need that stuff, you know. But anyway, I did. But, we had a tree service, and we were more into tree health and stuff like that, not the tremor. We did tremor and removals too, but our specialty was we had five sprayers went out every morning, turned $15,000 a day in early 70, which is a lot of money back then. And we were doing it all wrong, but in the Dutch elm disease, we were able to predict Dutch elm disease in that tree 2 years before it came. We would take a branch, cut it off, and put iodine on it. Once it got below 30% stored starch, which it turns purple when it's stored starch, once you got below that, in 2 years, you could expect to see Dutch elm disease in that tree, and it was very, very predictable.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. When you study nature, you know, instead of spraying everything to get rid of the insects and fungus, you have to figure out why it's there and take care of that. Then things, it's a different world. You know, you're off and all that stuff is all just temporary relief and how destructive it is.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about how many billions and billions of dollars are made every year off of, you know, these insecticides and herbicides, and, you know, it's just another form of pharmacia.
Yeah, I was riding a combine a few years ago with a guy, and the old mold was just rolling off that corn. And then less than a week later, he was in the hospital. And he said, well, I got to spray that corn for that mold, you know. And that ain't it. You grow crops out there, you don't need to spray it. And that's doable. That's very doable.
Yeah, good point.
See, that Sathami book by Joel Statlin, too, you know, that makes all the sense in the world, you know. And he was saying, you know, he had people with money coming to him, and they could see what was coming on. What do we do? What do we come to, you know? And he said, basically, he said, you find people that are growing food and get tight with them because you can't depend on that grocery store.
That's true.
Coming. I mean, now it's coming. Shelves will be empty, and you won't have any money. Your money won't buy crap anyway. It's so inflated. No, it's not self-destruct. You know, you go back to the Roman Empire, they were butchering the Christians, the ones with the answer. They were butchering them, you know, and the ones that didn't have the answer, they were trying to preserve their way of life, and it ended up not so good anyway. So but this is nothing new under the sun. We've been in this position before as a nation. You know what the word nation means?
What?
You don't know, apparently. It means race. Pledge allegiance. One nation under God. One race under God is what it's really saying.
Yes. Well, and that's like I was going to go back to this before, if we had time, but back to these Haitians. That's what Will sent in. He said these Haitians are receiving up to $5,000 a month. They don't need to eat people's pets. They do it because that's who they are. And, you know, we talk about race and we talk about people. We're talking about cultures, but, you know, that's who they are and that's what they do.
Yeah, they are.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Closing thoughts, men?
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's the gospel. It's the good news. We got to stand on that and smile at the future.
Amen. You know, Paul, why don't you close us out with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to discuss these things. Lord, we think we're the watchman on the wall. See, we can see what's happened. Other people can't, Lord. And we are a mourner. Willing to tell people, but we need people that are willing to hear. And we pray that you will move in this country, that your Holy Spirit will come across this country, and we'll have an awakening that we've never seen before, a hunger for your word and people to tell that story. We ask that this will all happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul.
Romans 13 can be hard for Christians to understand. What should be our relationship with the government? When do authorities step outside their lawfully appointed powers? Where should Christians draw the line? In Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, Pastor Peter J. Peters answers questions like these. Authority, Resistance, or Obedience also explains the difference between a godly government that Christians should obey and an ungodly one that should be resisted. To order Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, send $4 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or go to scripturesforamerica.org.
Everything you wanted to know about gun control and preachers were afraid to tell you is the eyebrow-raising title of a hard-hitting essay now available in pamphlet format for a $6 offering U.S. funds, and for a lot less when ordered in bulk. It's an excellent tool to place in the hands of all true Christian men, especially those in uniform. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, quote, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," end quote. So send a $6 offer U.S. funds and just ask for gun control. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Once again, that's Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. And thank you very much for your continuing prayers and support.